Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. It is February 27th, 2014, and sorry, last week I was not available for the live show, and so you heard a repeat of the prior week. And it's very, very rare that I miss this program. But actually, I only missed it by a number of hours, but I was on a travel venture, you might say, which had some very interesting results, some of which I'll talk about tonight, some of which I'll talk about in the future. Before I get going on that, though, I wanted to mention that there's a new book, and sometimes these topics just are bursting at the seams to be released. But I'm completing a new ebook, and it'll be done before I release it. A lot of times I pre-release material. And by the way, for the people who have ordered the pre-release Christmas package, let me explain a little bit about what happened there. It was being prepared for the Christmas release, and I made some new important discoveries that had to go along with that. And so I decided to sit back, and it's been amazing because the people that did purchase for the pre-release, I gave people an option to cancel if they wanted and order at a later time. Not a single person canceled. And so that gives you an idea of my audience, the faithfulness of my audience. And it was amazing to see the responses. People said, no, this is anything you do is important, and I'm going to stay in line and get my copy when it comes out. And so anyway, it was a very important new addition to this release. And by the way, that Christmas release is one of the most complicated ones I've ever done. And so that really says a lot, because like the weather book was hugely complicated. I had to reduce a 600-page book down to 300 pages for public release. But at any rate, I'm completing a new book. There won't be a pre-release sale. I'll have it done and with a name given when I release this new book coming up. It's a rather small one, but a very important one on a topic that, well, you'll have to wait and see what the topic is. But that's coming out soon. The show last week, I just reiterate, if you didn't listen to the one 2 weeks ago and then last week, it's about the pre-filter. I won't say any more. Just go listen to that show last week. Extremely important information about the snow melt, much of which contains radioactivity from Fukushima, and people have to start preparing to filter the water they use in their kitchens. And because radiation is long-term cumulative, and so you just have to start. The United States has been severely polluted with radiation from Fukushima, and so you have to get that out of your kitchen water, and you can't allow this to go into your clean water filter because it'll pollute your water filter. Secondly, people are selling what they call filters or filtration units that will remove radiation from water. First of all, if it's in line, in other words, if the filter goes in line in your water system, it is not for radiation. Radiation typically attaches to impurities, dust or oil or other impurities that are in the water. And so what you're really doing, you're not filtering the radiation, you're filtering the impurities that the radiation attaches to. And it's a very loose attachment, it's an ionic bond, and is very loosely attached to the pollution. And so it has to be in a low pressure filtration system, otherwise the radiation will simply break free and flow through the other filters that may be there in line and flow into your water. So inline water filtration for radiation does not work. So don't let anybody tell you that they somehow filter radiation with an inline water filter that's in your inline in your water system under your sink. Secondly, if it has an electric cord or any other kinds of attachments, but specifically an electric cord. If it's electric, then it is not for emergency, because when the power goes out, it won't work, very simply put. So those two things, if you're in the market for a pre-filter for radiation, remember, if it's inline, no, it is not for radiation. If it requires electricity, no, it is not for emergency. And so you want your pre-filter. The only pre-filter on the market is the one I sell. It was designed with low pressure. It's gravity feed, and you can throw the powder out that comes with it. You can throw it out, and in case of emergency, you can even use dirt and filter the radiation. So, I mean, it's a very, it's an extremely versatile, very simple way of getting radiation out of your water. Okay, just a quick mention about the banker situation. And I don't know, most of you have probably heard about this, but to date, over 30 bankers, these are high-level investment bankers from the United States, primarily from Britain, from England, supposedly committing suicide or disappearing under very strange circumstances. Now, the number is growing, and there are two theories, you might call them, or statements of what's going on here on the internet. One is that the bank, the hierarchy in the banks are doing this, and they're throwing these people off 30-story buildings. One of them died with a nail gun shot to the brain. This is the kind of strange goings-on this is actually going on. It's not exactly like this is in mainstream media news, but this started a short while ago. And so to date, over 30 high-level investment bankers have either disappeared or committed suicide, but under extremely strange conditions. And, of course, the police are told not to investigate any of this. There are two theories. One is that there is a group of military, ex-military people in the U.S. who have decided to take their oath which was to defend the country against all foes, and seeing that the bankers, the European bankers, are in fact the foe of the American people, have started to locate and develop lists of bankers. The other concept has been, of course, since the beginning, that the bankers themselves are doing this because these particular investment bankers know too much. They're like the vice president of J.P. Morgan. These are very high-level bankers, so they know a lot. They've probably been to Bohemia Grove. They've probably been to a lot of the secret meetings. And so anyway, that the Navy SEALs and other military, ex-military from the United States are doing this, and working their way up the ladder to the higher level bankers. And so at any rate, whatever is going on, it may be both, and my concept is that it's probably both, and it's a race to get to these people because basically they know who's who in the banking world. And of course, if you understand what I mean, they would have a lot of information on who's who and who's making the major decisions to destroy the United States economically. But I just want to quick mention this. There's a lot of information that other people are putting out, but this is very important because it's a key indicator that things are about to come down. This is not the kind of thing that just happens every day. So we are absolutely in a time of extreme change, banking change, and the belief is that very soon there will be a bank holiday. Very soon the money in the banks will be held to pay off the banking debts that exist. And there is no debt there because it's all phony baloney money. But the point is, this will take the United States into third world status with a shutdown of the banks. My particular aspect of this, of course, is that those same people own science. And so the extreme level of misinformation being thrown at the public regarding science, bad science, is something that we have to that's something that I just have to report. And so that along with this, there's just a super large amount of bad information that's being fed to the public. Okay, so anyway, and along with that, my particular concentration is making sure that you out there are water independent. Even though it started raining in California this past week, most of that rain, because of the drought, most of that rain will flood, cause severe flooding and damage, and most of it, within an hour or two, will be in the Pacific Ocean. So it really does nothing to supply California with water, the much-needed water that it has. And the people that are finally letting the, that are controlling the weather out there, the nutcases, this has all been done to just destroy California. They are preparing right now for heavy rains and flooding. And the drought, of course, has killed all the plant life, so there's nothing there to hold the floodwaters from just racing down the mountainside and into the ocean. So at any rate, and of course, it will cause a lot of nuclear pollution because all of that rain from the Pacific is being drawn up off of the ocean in what is now the most highly polluted radiation pool in the Pacific Ocean that has moved all the way from Japan over to about 300 miles west, west of California in the Pacific Ocean. So my point is that the people have to become water independent. There are 11 U.S. cities that will be without water by this summer. In other words, they don't have, you'll turn the faucet and nothing will come out. So entire cities without water, and of course this is all controlled. This is all controlled. There's not a water shortage. How could there be a water shortage when we've had record snows in all of the states? All 50 states have had snow and record amounts of snow and cold. And when this starts to melt, there's nothing in place to move this water into safe areas where we will then have a good water supply, or how it could be moved, for example, from the Midwest over to states like California. We have plenty of water, more than sufficient fresh water. We have a water management problem. And by the way, on my webpage, on the sales page, everybody that makes any kind of water filter purchase, whether it's small, whether it's just a set of water filter elements, or whether it's a big water system with a pre-filter, everybody will get my ebook Water for free. So that's something that's very important information, telling you who's controlling water, who's out there grabbing control of water, how they're doing it. And this is worldwide, not just in the United States, but it's important to understand who is controlling water today. And it's coming down the pike here. This summer and spring is going to be a devastating time for water control. Okay. Just a quick note. On my webpage, I do not have extensive lists of topics for the radio show. And there's a good reason for this. That means you have to listen to the entire show, all of them. There's no, sometimes I give some general topics, but I don't say at what minute or whatever the topic begins. And there's a reason for this, a couple reasons. One is that everybody has to listen to all of the show. It's not like you can say, oh, I just want to listen to this particular topic and go in and listen to that. Because there's no way to do that. You have to listen to the entire show and get all of the information. And secondly, my detractors, who are paid by the government to come out and listen to this show, they have to listen to all of it too, much to their chagrin. They can't go in and cherry pick and say, well, he said this, and then somehow distort it. And of course, that goes on all the time on the blogs, the trolls that are, the government shill trolls that are out there picking out information, trying to twist it. And when they do that, of course, my audience is there to point out that they're twisting and pulling out information out of context. But at any rate, the point is that I don't have extensive lists of topics for this program. And so, and the simple reason is because it's all important from beginning to end. And of course, it comes commercial free. The whole point of this is I have had many offers to have sponsors. The people want to sponsor my show because they thought it would be a good place to advertise, and I turn them down. Other networks that say, please put your program on our network, and it's that would be fine, but then I would have all of the network commercials mixed in with my show, and I don't do that. I pay for my own airtime. And so the bottom line is I keep this format. This has been over 10 years, probably pushing 12 or 13 years now that this show has been live, commercial-free, and I maintain that format. It's probably the only radio show on the Internet or on shortwave or on AM, FM, or any other medium that is commercial-free. So it's a unique idea. It's something that if no matter what's going on financially, I pay for this show and the airtime myself. And so there are no sponsors. There's nobody telling me what to say. Just want to talk about some listener emails. And this is always great. I have people that send in emails with information. And, of course, I don't have time to scour the Internet on a daily basis. But people are out there finding interesting topics. So the first one is very interesting. A listener sent this in. It's a long dialogue from, let me quick pull this up here. It's cbtsresidence.com/spectrum/donharvey1.htm is the URL. I'll quick read that again. And you can listen, you can always go back to the archive on my webpage and pick this URL up again by listening to my show on the archive. And by the way, all of my radio shows for since the very beginning are archived on my webpage, jmccsci.com. So remember that, jmccsci.com. All of my radio shows are archived there, so you can go back to listen to shows that are from 2002, 2003, 2000, whatever time period you want, you can listen. And there's always, these shows are designed for all time, so it's not like it's old information. You're going to get an education by listening to all of them, even though they might be many years old. This URL, let me read it again. So www.C, B as in boy, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, residence with a S, .com/spectrum/donharvey1.htm. Okay, so this is a fairly old write-up by a guy named Don Harvey, who was an Apollo astronaut, or not astronaut, but technician. He was in charge of the thruster on the lunar lander module, and this was the main engines of the lunar lander. But at any rate, it's interesting to listen to his tales talking about the Apollo landings. And so, but the part I wanted to pick out here, and this is a good example of how the engineers were kept in the dark about the lunar landings and about all the other goings-on of NASA. And here these guys are running around doing their job as if the lunar landings are actually occurring, but not looking at the real data that came out of the so-called Apollo lunar landings. And so anyway, there's a part in there where he talks about them actually landing on the moon using the engines. And the part that's very interesting is those engines are at full throttle, almost full throttle, as the lunar lander allegedly comes down and touches on the moon. And I remember they have long, like, wire-like extensions coming out of the pads of the pods that the lunar lander would land on. Long wires to sense the moon so they know that they are within inches of the lunar surface. And that means, okay, just let the lander go down. But what's very interesting is that it shows that the engine, the reverse thrust main engine of the lunar lander, was at near full capacity, in other words, full thrust, as the lunar lander came down and landed on the moon. However, when you look at the photos of the lunar lander, there's not a grain of sand, there's not a grain of powder that has been moved from its place. Now, we all see the Saturn V or the space shuttle lift off, and there's this tremendous blast of material, of rocket thrust material coming out of the back of that engine. So you can imagine on the moon the amount of dust that would be blowing out and away from the site of this main thrust rocket engine as the lunar lander came down and landed. But when you look in the Apollo photographs, as I said, there's not a single particle of dust that, and it would be like in a radial direction. And if you had a rock sitting there, of course, there would be a spray pattern around that rock of dust and everything else. But if you look at the lunar lander photos, there is not a single grain of sand that has been displaced due to this tremendously powerful reverse thrust rocket engine that was used to drop the lunar module onto the surface of the moon. And in this engineering report, he talks about that. He talks about the fact that that engine is at full thrust as they drop down to the surface of the moon. And it's going until literally the lunar module is setting on the moon, the lunar surface. This is a great example of, here's an engineer who was in charge of the main thrust rocket engine of the lunar lander, who never followed up to understand that the photos they sent back don't depict a rocket engine at full thrust landing on the moon. And so here's a guy who had telemetry data coming back, who had information that he was watching as the so-called lunar project was progressing, had no idea that the whole process did not happen. Now, let me just say this. I would love someday for NASA to prove that they went to the moon. I would love to see that. I would love to see the fact that Apollo program did pull off the, you know, landing of three men on the moon and eventually other landings after that. I think total of six landings. I would love to see NASA prove this, but to date that they have not. They have not presented a shred of evidence that says that they did this. And many people ask, well, all of these engineers were there and they were all watching data coming back, etc. But remember, they didn't have a way of knowing where this lunar lander was. There was a couple second delay because the signals were coming from the moon. But none of these engineers really, if you look at it, had really any information that they were dealing with something that was on the moon. They had no way of knowing. All of this appeared to be coming from the moon, but the end result is not a single one of them have real data that can prove that NASA, in fact, landed on the moon. In fact, this case of Don Harvey is a perfect example of one of the main engineers on the project who really can't corroborate his information with reality, which are the photos that were sent back from the moon. In other words, there should have been a massive spray of dust. And remember, when the astronauts jumped out, you could see their footprints in this super fine powder dust that was covering the alleged lunar surface, or from my way of viewing it, was in the warehouse down in Arizona someplace, where they did all the photo shoots for the Apollo landing program. That's where the fine powder was. It was not on the surface of the moon. And so but at any rate, the whole point is that powder should have been blown all over the place with a small burnt crater in the middle. And that's where what we should have seen at the lunar landing site. But no, it looked like a crane had dropped it down very gently and put it in place on the lunar so-called lunar surface. So, okay, enough of that. I don't want to waste a lot of my time. But now remember that all of this is a smokescreen for what's going on in the background. The real space program is not visible to the public. So as we talk about whether Apollo happened or not is really irrelevant, because the real issue is what they are doing in secret today, as far as space exploration. Remember, they're going out and getting asteroids lined up for mining. All of this is going into the private hands of the international bankers who own science. This is the real issue. So they love to see this phony Apollo went to the moon. They love to see all of these arguments going on, because it's just another smokescreen for what they're really doing in outer space. Okay, the following email came from a listener, and this is in reference to my comments the other week about the the 501c, or what is it, the 501c3 Church Association. And this is really an association of church and state. In the United States, there's supposed to be a separation of church and state, but today there's very much an association, and it's a tax status that churches have to collect the money from people and not pay taxes on it. It's called a 501c3, or for nonprofits. And the churches have to register this or pay taxes. And so I made a comment on this, that this has evolved into a situation where the government tells churches what they can and cannot say. And if they say certain things, they will lose their tax status and have to pay taxes. So most of the churches comply with this. And so what you get is a bunch of watered-down singing, like folk song type singing, and everybody feels good when they leave and they write a check or drop their money in the box. So at any rate, a listener wrote in, and I'll read the email here. It says, "Hello, Professor McCanny. I have dropped out of all corporate churches which have the 501c3 status. The Internal Revenue Service considers that donations which merit the status of tax deductible actually comprise a subsidy of sorts from the federal government. That part of the tax which was due the taxpayer but was not paid to our wonderful overlords is considered a subsidized portion. Hence, the corporate church environment is really Caesar's church and not God's. My church is where two or three are gathered together for scripture, teaching, and prayer. Period. A related matter, what is the world's oldest and most long-standing corporation which serves as a template for all corporations around the world? The answer, the Vatican. Corporate law is the law of the sea. That's S-E-E with a capital S. That's a fact. Once a person is entangled in this web, it's over. Thank you for all your work." Okay, that's a comment from a listener. Okay, another email from a listener. Here, this is about General Electric moving from Wisconsin. Listen to this, because it speaks for itself. Once again, this is an email from a listener. It says, "GE is moving from Wisconsin. Keep your eye on Waukesha, Wisconsin." I don't know if I said that right, but Waukesha, Wisconsin. "Their biggest employer just moved out. General Electric is planning to move its 115-year-old X-ray division from Waukesha, Wisconsin to Beijing, China. In addition to moving the headquarters, the company will invest $2 billion in China and train more than 65 engineers and create 6 research centers. This is the same GE that made $5.1 billion in the United States last year but paid no taxes, the same company that employs more people overseas than it does in the United States. So let me get this straight. President Obama appointed GE Chairman Jeff Immelt to head his Commission on Job Creation. He's the job czar. Immelt is supposed to help create jobs. I guess the president forgot to tell him in which country he was supposed to create those jobs. Thanks, Jeff. You're a real American and give Obama our best. If it doesn't show you the total lack of leadership of this president, I don't know what does. Please pass this on to others and think about it before you buy any GE products. Wow. At any rate, another email from a listener. Here is a rare film from 1932. Once again sent in from a listener. It says, this 7-minute newscast from 1932, General Patton, has been a hero in my mind ever since I saw the movie Patton. I was sorry to see his role in this dastardly move on the World War One soldiers. They had been promised bonuses after the war. They were unemployed, hungry, and probably many of them homeless. So they went to Washington, D.C., believing Uncle Sam would make good on the promises. The promise was for a bonus after World War One, and they never got it. And so the listener writes on, wonder why we weren't taught this in U.S. history. Basically, everything we learned were lies, and other than the names and dates, check it out. Okay, so anyway, it says that veterans are lied to again and shortchanged by our elected officials in Washington. So here's a rare film, and I'll read off this URL. It's fairly simple once again, but I think you should see this. The news video is from 1932. A young Patton, a young Eisenhower, and MacArthur are all there. It shows President Hoover, and it's reported by Walter Winchell, who was a news reporter all through those war years. If you think that this is the listener writing, if you think that the military acting on orders from a broken federal government won't march on its own, just watch this. This is hard to believe, but this happened 80 years ago, and remember that history repeats itself. So you go to YouTube / embed, E-M-B-E-D / I'll repeat this in a minute. It's a youtube.com/ embed, E-M-B-E-D / and all of these letters are capitals except the ones that I say are small. So it's embed / small s, N-O, small s, I, B as in boy, the number 5, V-M-S-Q. So you got to go watch this. Once again, it's youtube.com/ embed / small s, N-O, small s, I, B as in boy, the number 5, V as in Victor, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, Q as in quantum. And go there and listen, watch this video, where the U.S. military, in that day it was cavalry, attacks the World One soldiers who are camped out in Washington in front of the White House, demanding their bonus check from World War One. Now, this is in 1932. Remember that the war had been over for a long, long time. And so they're going there, the Depression is on, these people had never gotten their bonuses promised from being soldiers in World War One, and out of work, homeless, and this is how they're treated. And you can see the entire banker system in place at that time, denying these American war heroes any drop of relief during the Great Depression. So make sure you go see that. And once again, if you missed the URL, just go to my archives on my webpage, jmccsci.com, and listen again. But it's very important to watch this video. Here's a new product update, just a quick issue. Since I started selling the water filter elements that have the internal fluoride arsenic filtration, and by the way, they also take out chromium and other elements that are in your water, it's the only filter of its kind on the market. These are the 7-inch candles, which now have internal filtration for fluoride, arsenic, chromium, and many other very harmful metals, etc., that are in water. I have been doing selling. People, let me put it this way: people have been buying this about 10-to-1 to the old style filters. There are quite a few people that still buy the older filters without them, because they like the add-on filter, and for some people they sometimes use the add-on filter and sometimes don't. So there's still a need for the 7-inch candles, the ceramic filters, that do not have internal filtration. Some people just need those, some people don't have a problem with fluoride and arsenic and all of those others because they have well water. But make sure you know a lot of well water has arsenic. But my point is that I had failed to put those available with the plastic water filters. And so anyway, now those are going to be available with the plastic water containers, the high-density polyethylene water containers. So go to the webpage. That was somewhat of an oversight on my part, which was pointed out this last week. Why don't I have those available with the plastic container that comes with 5 elements? It's a super deal because you basically get the plastic water container free when you buy that, because the price of the unit is the cost of the filter elements. So it's a great backup unit. It's called the high density polyethylene HDPE large capacity water filter. It comes with those 7-inch candles. Will now be available with the 7-inch candles that have internal fluoride arsenic filtration. So okay, enough of that. The last week I missed my show because I was on a journey, and sometimes when you go on a journey you don't exactly know what you're going to find or who you're going to meet or where it's going to take you. And I've gone on many, many, many journeys like this in my life, starting out when I was very young. And it always amazes me what I find, and so I'll explain the day before I was starting to come back, and I wanted to get back to civilization where I could do my show. I was eating breakfast in a very remote location, and a gentleman came out and put on some music. And this music was very beautiful. It was guitar music with Italian, kind of Italian type of singer. And, you know, somewhat of an operatic voice, but not totally operatic. But at any rate, very beautiful music. And it went on, and he went away. And then he came back, and I said, by the way, this, you know, music is very, very nice. Who is it? So he went on to explain about, and it happened to be his favorite singer. And he went on to explain that every morning he puts that music on, he listens to it, and he thanks God for his life that was renewed. And I thought, okay, so he keeps talking, and he says, 20 years ago, now this is a guy that's about 80, he's in his 80s, mid-80s, and he looks very young and very healthy and very happy, very content and very relaxed. And he goes, well over 20 years ago, I had terminal cancer. And he said, the hospitals sent me home to die. He said, I went to the best hospitals for the best treatment, and they sent me home. They said I had 2 weeks to live. And so he said, I didn't have, I was working at the time, so I took what resources I had, and he went to a place in Mexico called the New Hope Medical Clinic. And it's a place that does holistic treatment of cancer. He said when he entered, he could hardly move He was dying. He had stomach cancer. He said all of his stomach was being eaten by tumors. And he said when he went in there, they put him in a group of 100 other people who had the same thing, terminal cancer. They had been sent home to die in short order. And he said within the treatment period, everybody in his group eventually left completely cured of cancer. And of course, if you say cured of cancer in the United States, you could potentially be arrested. So I'm quoting this man. I'm quoting what he told me. He said all 100 people in his group of 100, that they put them in groups so they could talk together and communicate. He said all 100 were cured of cancer. And he said, and since then he had been eating a small seed. And it was from I don't remember how to say it exactly, but it was high content B17, was a vitamin, or Laetril, as it is commonly called. But my point is that, of course, if you look on the internet for Laetril, now I've done shows before talking about Laetril. And of course, if you look at the American Cancer Society public statement on Laetril, they say it's a quack. It's a farce. It doesn't do anything. The FDA, I think it was back in the 1980s, proclaimed it illegal to deal with Laetril as far as a cancer cure. And they just basically say it doesn't do anything. But in Mexico, there's a holistic treatment center called the New Hope Medical Treatment Center. And their records show over 100,000 people cured of cancer. Now, that's their statement once again. If I said that here in the United States, somebody could come out and beat me on the head. I'm just repeating their statement. But once again, the dichotomy in the what's being produced in the United States as far as cancer treatment, basically bloodletting, with chemotherapy and radiation, basically killing the patient almost dead with radiation, and chemo is basically poison. It's a poison that kills your body, and the theory is that it should kill the cancer first, and then when you come back, if you come back, and of course all the people that have been killed from chemotherapy are classified as dying from cancer, not chemotherapy. And so but the issue in the United States is that cancer treatment is the highest income cash cow for the American Medical Association. It is the biggest money maker of all. And so if you cured cancer, gee, the money for cancer research would stop. If you cured cancer, the money that goes in the biggest cash cow for the medical industry would cease. And just imagine, it's very cheap irradiating somebody. Radiation is generated with just a high voltage radiation detection unit. And by the way, I get a kick out of GE moving out to China. Guess what they were making? The radiation units, x-ray units. That's what they were making in Wisconsin. So they're now moving it to China. Well, as far as I'm concerned, move to China. Take your x-rays and everything with you. Don't come back. You know, it's not something I would have anything to do with. But at any rate, the issue in the United States with cancer treatment is, well, you make your own decision, but I'm just reporting what this guy told me. And this is over 20 years later. Did not have surgery, didn't have chemo, did not have radiation, was sent home to die in 2 weeks. This is 20 some years later. He's happy, he's cured, he's been in complete remission ever since, never had another trace of cancer, and all he does is eat the seeds of a small apricot tree. And you can go on the internet, you can look under Laetril, the most common, this B17, by the way, comes a vitamin B17. It's really not a vitamin, by the way. It's kind of a misnomer that has been carried over. but that's what they call it, or Laetrile. L-A-E-T-R-I-L-E is the spelling. But it's something that each person should research and understand on their own. But as I said, when I go on a journey, I'm not sure quite what I'm going to run into, but just another indication of the what's going on in the U.S. medical industry. And by the way, I was going to add a note to that. In talking to certain people, there's an extract that you can get out of apricot seeds, and these are a small, actually like a peach, apricot, or prune. They're kind of all in the same family where they have that big seed. But these are rather small. And so anyway, as I said, you can go on the internet and find these, but interestingly enough, Wikipedia, the disinformation encyclopedia, of course, denounces it as being a fraud, a quack, etc. And so with the cleansing of the internet, all you will find is complete misinformation about this topic that is, of course, government-sponsored. The point I wanted to make is that in talking to some people in the past on this topic, and it's something, as I said, I've talked about this on my show in the past, in the whole idea of natural solutions to cancer, is that in the United States, they say, well, one issue is that Laetrile contains cyanide. It's a poison. And so they say, well, you have to get the cyanide out of the B17 vitamin, because it's poisonous. But the entire point is that the cyanide is hooked molecularly. It has a molecular bond to some other chemicals that are in the Laetrile, and that's what the cancer cells, for some reason, allow this to enter, whereas the normal cells do not. And when the Laetrile is in the cancer cell, it releases the cyanide and kills the cancer cell. And this is the theory on how it works. So it's kind of the same principle as chemotherapy, where you want to kill the cancer cell, but the difference is that chemotherapy kills all of the regular cells too. So you're basically killing all of the good cells, and all of the cancerous cells supposedly die sooner. And so right before you're dead, they start bringing you back from chemo. That's the principle. And so, like I say, it's a rather medieval bloodletting sort of cure. Okay, for now, for a quick solar update, the sun has been still more than extremely weak. A few low-class flares that have hit a glancing blow to Earth, but nothing to write home about. And then in the past day, there was an X-class flare of 4.9, and this will not hit Earth. It's a glancing blow to our magnetic field. And so once again, the sun is in an extremely weak state, extremely weak. This 4.9 X-class flare, remember that during the 2002 double peak of the solar cycle, that we had booming X flares sometimes every few minutes, and really not many of them actually hit Earth, because the three-dimensional space is very big, and so these flares go off in all directions, and very rarely did they actually hit Earth directly. But once again, the sun just extremely weak. The story, of course, is the extreme cold weather that continues throughout the northern, all of the United States. It's really a phenomenon, and they're talking about records in just about all 50 states now are on the verge of breaking all-time records for the coldest winter, the longest string of cold days, the lowest temperatures, the lowest average temperatures. All of these records that go back to all time are on the verge of being broken because we're still really only in February. We have all of March, which is typically the snowiest month, and probably into April, where this cold will still continue. So I suspect that this winter is on track to break all records. That is, it's hard to predict. It could turn around tomorrow and change. But remember that climate control is very possible now, and it looks like that's what we're dealing with. The records of the past occurred naturally, but this winter, obviously, that big pressure cell that was put over west of California and then in the Pacific, using laser satellites to draw the moisture up into the region around Alaska, the Arctic Circle, where that radiation-laden moisture would then move down into the central, basically all the 50 states, as that wind pattern shifted over time and dumping tremendous amounts of snow in the upper 48 states and Alaska also. So at any rate, this winter, this is the story that just preoccupies most people. They've used up most of the fuel. I saw a program where the salt that is being put on the roads, they are running three shifts around the clock. There's a mine, there's a salt mine in Cleveland that's under, I believe, Lake Erie, that they are getting the salt, and this provides the majority of places in the United States. They are running three shifts, 24 hours a day, mining salt to provide salt for the roads in the United States because of this horrendous winter. And so the question is, are we heading into a mini ice age? Will we have a summer where crops can be grown? And of course, Obama is more interested in infiltrating Syria, the Ukraine, and Venezuela than he is in trying to provide a future for this country. In other words, we do not have any leadership that is addressing some of the very major issues that citizens are going to be facing. Lack of water, even though we have abundant snow, abundant spring runoff, spring melt, and the fact that Fukushima radiation is polluting the United States. Our little Prez and the other banker marionettes out there are not doing anything. They don't know what to do. Of course, basketball and shaking hands with singers and movie stars is more important than providing real leadership for the real issues of our day. And that's true of politicians in general. They just have no idea what they should be doing, and collectively less. The main issue that people are going to be dealing with in the upcoming months is water. Very simply put, water. And that's something that I've concentrated on my webpage. I don't sell flashlights or emergency equipment or blankets or tents. Or I could sell all kinds of things, you know, supplements or things like that. In fact, I have sold certain things in the past. But now I'm simply concentrating on water because that is the one most important thing that everybody absolutely needs. I want to tell you something, and this is just a fact of life. I've been ramping up on inventory on all of the items because the sales have been increasing. I can't hold vast amounts of inventory, but I'm seeing something coming down the road here. People are becoming aware of the water issue all over the place. And the issue with Fukushima is waking people up because they're starting to realize that their water supply is going to be polluted, and that radiation is long-term cumulative. In other words, if it gets in your body, it stays there. It's like mercury. It builds and it builds and it builds, and your body does not have a natural way to get rid of it. There are things you can take after radiation is in your body to clean it out, but you don't even want it to get in there. So that's why I'm saying the pre-filter, I just stressed this last week, the week before, the issue of water filtration is paramount, because believe me, coming from the city or even coming from a well where the runoff is going down into the underground water systems, it's getting down there and it's going to start polluting with radiation. Those are going to become permanently contaminated sources of water. You have to personally take this out before you use water in your kitchen. And as I said at the beginning of the show, if it has an electric power line, it is not for an emergency. If it's in line, if it runs in the line of your water under the sink in the pressure line, it is not for radiation, because radiation is very loosely bound. It will break that bond and flow back into the water system and into your water. So an inline water filtration unit cannot be used for radiation. So just remember, when you're looking for something, mine is the only one on the market that does exactly what you need. Plus, you can throw away the powders on a regular basis and reuse them, and you can easily get more powder to remove radiation by buying the accessory kits for the pre-filter. So this is something that what I'm telling you is that people are waking up all over. The demand is increasing, and the supply, the ability to supply that demand, is going to go down. The demand is increasing. The supply is going to be harder and harder to fill that demand as time goes on. So don't sit around and wait and think about this. Act now. The people in my audience are the first people to hear this. I don't have the biggest audience in the world, but just remember, there are some people also that sell filters that take out all the minerals. They give you basically distilled water. You cannot drink distilled water and be healthy, because it draws all the minerals out of your cells. Distilled water is lacking in minerals, so it's going to take them, the minerals, out of your cells and eventually deplete your body of minerals. So do not drink distilled water. You have to drink water that is filtered, but it has to be in a low-pressure gravity feed scenario, and you have to be able to throw out regularly the powders that are doing the filtration, and that's what my pre-filter is designed to do. And so what I'm telling you is that go to the webpage, read the information, and get ready, because the demand, we see it daily, is increasing. I would say tenfold over what it was even 6 months ago. So go to the webpage, make sure you get the pre-filter accessory set, and if you don't have a gravity feed water filter, you got to get one. That's all I can tell you. So all your in the gravity feed water filter itself will not filter out radiation. And you do not want radiation to go into your gravity feed water filter. It's something you want to take out in a pre-filter. So at any rate, I'm out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.